welcome, dear listeners. A very, very happy new year to all of you. This is our first program in the year 2018. So we're very, very happy to meet all of you on this afternoon satsang, the first one of this year. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Arvind. As always, we offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and we cannot express our gratitude enough for this opportunity to be able to sit here week after week and to dwell on Swami and Swami's message, stories related to Swami, stories written by Swami, books written by Swami. I think we can't express enough gratitude for that opportunity. Just to think of him even for one moment, I think it needs definitely Swami's blessings. That's what Swami would say. You know, you can't even think of Swami, you can't come to Swami, you can't spend a day in Prashanti Nilayam without Swami's blessings. And he's given us this opportunity to not only speak about him, think about him, but to also do that with all of you. And he's given this opportunity for so many years. I really can't thank him enough. So let's invite Arvind, and we are going to have a very interesting discussion today. This is a week on which we have a general topic discussion. And this also happens to be a very important time of the year according to the Prashanti calendar. It has come to represent one of the most active parts of the year. But before we go into the topic, let's ask Arvind to join all of us. Sairam, Arvind.
Sairam, Prem. And, you know, let me take off from where you left, which is that this is a very, very significant and important part of the year. Forgive me, I have a bad cold, so if my voice appears better than what it is, then I'm happy. If not, then as I said, please forgive me. This is that time of the year when, you know, Swami would often narrate in his discourses that the sun begins its northward journey, the Uttarayanam phase, and it is considered to be a very, very sacred time. It is said that whatever activities or whatever is the focus of one's attention, strength and faculties at this point of time in the year, that will turn out to be one's lifelong focus and goal also. In fact, the great revered grandsire of the Pandavas and the Kauravas, Bhishmacharya, though he had fallen in battle on a bed of arrows, he had the blessing to choose the time of giving up his body. So though he had got his entire body pierced with arrows, he still did not die. He was lying down on this bed of arrows, and he also decided to give up his body at this Uttarayanam time, thinking of God. And Swami would often say that this is the time when all of us should be thinking of God and God alone, because nothing else is a worthwhile goal in life. Swami is so compassionate that in order to help the students achieve this, because it is not easy to think of God, you know, if you think in that way, because we are so engrossed in all our activities. We are tamasic, we are rajasic, very rarely are we sattvic. So therefore, to suddenly focus all our energies and attention onto God becomes difficult. In order to help us in doing that, the students I mean, Swami designed this wonderful annual sports and cultural meet that coincides with the time of the year when this Uttarayanam happens. And because of that, what happens is, for a month preceding this Uttarayanam phase, all the students are actually involved in their thought, word and deed indirectly on Swami. Because as we have said it time and again, and as we have done repeated satsangs on it, the sole objective of the sports and cultural meet is to see that smile on Bhagwan's face. It is in order to please Swami that it is the entire event is held. And this event culminates on the 11th of January and the days following that in the Sai Kulwant Hall. But efforts for this event begins almost a month before, in the early December itself. So, you know, actually when the Uttarayanam time comes, every student has had almost 1 month of practice of thinking about, speaking about and doing actions for Swami and Swami alone. So it becomes easier during this Uttarayanam time to have one's focus entirely on Swami. And how beautiful and apt it is that coinciding with that Uttarayanam day, which is supposed to be Shankranti, Bhagwan has the annual sports and cultural meets prize distribution ceremony, wherein Swami is rewarding all the students who have, you know, put in their heart and soul in this annual meet. Therefore, it is so beautiful from a physical point of view, from a metaphysical point of view, and from a spiritual point of view. As you summed it up, it is a very, very significant part of the year, significant time of the year.
Just going further in what you were mentioning, you know, Swami talks about the Uttarayanam, and in that sense, Swami makes a very beautiful point when he is referring to the true Uttarayanam, as we know that astronomically or looking at it from the point of view of the movement of the sun. This is the time when the sun, as we see it, starts moving northwards. But we know that it's actually the change of seasons, and it appears that the sun is moving northwards. And Swami would often say that as the sun moves northwards, you know, we should turn towards God. And but the real significance of this is, we, according to Vedanta, they have these two concepts about the Chandra Loka and the Surya Loka. And they say, depending on how you do your actions, you either land up in the Chandra Loka or Surya Loka. And this Chandra Loka is actually something similar to what we refer to as heaven. So when you do good actions, when you do actions which are noble, which are sattvic, it is said that you actually might find a place in Chandra Loka, depending on your actions being good. And Swami would say that that is like being getting elected to the parliament. You have a limited validity. After 5 years, you come back and you again have to do good to go back into that place. But Swami says, even as you're doing good, if you do it with the attitude of dedication to God, if you do it with a feeling that I don't want to accrue any benefit out of this good act I'm doing, I only do it for the pleasure of God. Swami says that that slight attitude change takes you towards the Surya Loka, and Swami says Surya Loka is, reaching there is akin to getting liberated. You don't have to come back from there. So Swami would say that, you know, there is a subtle difference. It's not just about doing good actions, doing noble actions, keeping your mind pure. Swami says doing it and doing it for the sake of God, that changes everything, and that is what actually liberates you from the cycle of birth and death. And to now think that Swami says that this time of the year I'm permitting you to do this, it's so very significant. And as we will see, it is not about an event. It is not about offering something after much preparation to Swami. Swami wants every act to become like that. Because Swami was in one discourse, he was saying that, you know, how are you going to get out of the cycle of birth and death? Because good also you do, you get caught. Bad also you do, you get caught. Then how do you liberate yourself? You have to keep coming back to enjoy the
good,
you know, the benefit of the consequence of your actions. And Swami says the only way is when you start saying, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing it and I'm offering it to God. And I think that is the message which the sportsmate actually gives. In fact, everything that Swami did, as we're going to see, Swami was always hinting at that. Start living your life in that manner. I think that's what probably we'll dwell upon.
See, when you think of this concept about doing something for God or dedicating it to God, I think all of us do it in some measure or the other. But the problem comes when we say do everything for God, because we feel, you know, some things are too small to be done for the sake of God. I mean, if I'm eating food, what do you mean by I dedicate my eating food to God? If I'm going to win a championship, a trophy, yes, I dedicate it to my Lord. If I'm going to have some lifetime achievement, I dedicate it to my Lord. If I possibly write a book, I dedicate it to my Lord. People often do this not only to God, to their parents, to their well-wishers, to whom they feel are important in their life. So dedicating something that you do, something that you value, something that you cherish and treasure to someone whom you value and cherish or treasure is not a new concept. But dedicating everything, you know, as I said, an author might dedicate his book to his parents, but you'll not see him dedicating him going on his two-wheeler or him learning how to ride the two-wheeler to his parents. I mean, those things are, in our concept, not big enough to be dedicated. I feel that is where the sports meet comes in, like a path breaker, path changer, wherein Swami shows that it's not about the size of the action. Don't hesitate, don't feel shy to dedicate even the smallest of things, because God is waiting for each and every little thing, and He will be the most pleased if you are able to dedicate every little act, every little word that you speak, every little thought that you think to Him. And that is a deeper and very subtle message that gets driven home into all the students as we participate over and over again in this sports meet.
you know, today I was seeing an advertisement on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely unrelated probably, but when I was seeing that, this is the thought I got. This, when it was an advertisement for something like a medicine for cold or something, or a rub-on medicine which you apply for children at night.
So something that I need now.
Absolutely. You know, something like that. So it's an ad for that, and there is this kid who's sleeping, and he's dreaming of being the first man to land on the Mars or something like that, you know. And the kid is dreaming. So he's dreaming of doing that probably when he becomes an adult. But the voice of the kid is still the voice of the kid. So, I mean, he's just running through his mind what he would think when he's landing on the moon.
Hmm.
Right? And the thoughts are, oh, how proud my mother would be that I've landed on the moon. And when I was just seeing that scene, I thought, when it really happens, if that kid was really going to grow up to become a man, would that be the thought when he lands on the Mars? Right? Because by then there would be so many other people that you'll be thinking of, and you know, probably you'll have your own family, you'll have the ego that I have achieved it myself, and all of that. That, I mean, it is easy for a child to think like that, because for the child the world is the mother and the father. So when the child is dreaming, he thinks that when I achieve that, I'll be thinking of my mother. But actually, when it happens, you might not think. So I think that is what in our life is, you know, whether we are achieving something big, we will be able to think of Swami and offer it to Swami only when the inspiration was Swami, and when we were going through the whole process, we were thinking of dedicating to Swami, and when we achieve it, we'll dedicate to Swami. Otherwise, I think, as you were saying, only the bigger ones we will think that, okay, this is big enough. No, this is worthy enough to be offered to Swami, and only those we might think of Swami. But when it comes to every small thing, I think when it starts with Swami, when you take the journey with Swami, then automatically when you achieve it, however small or big or imperfect it is, you will automatically offer it to Swami.
And when you were speaking, you made another point, though not a direct point in this connection. I also remember, you know, when in grade 11, while speaking to one of our teachers in the higher secondary school,
mm-hmm.
His name is Mr. Sairam, S.N. Sairam. His name is only Sairam, so Sairam sir. We used to say Sairam sir, because one is Sairam to him and one is his name. And he had asked all the students, you know, what their goals was, what their ambition was. And I had told him that my goal is to dedicate my life for Swami, and, you know, I had told him, like, want to stay with Swami as long as I can and all that. I remember years later, he came back to me, and when I was in college, he asked me, what is it that you want? You know, this was the time when I was wanting my MBA seat so that I can get admission in Swami's college. And I told him, sir, I want MBA seat, sir. That's what I'm hoping I'll do. He asked me, why is it that you want the MBA seat? I said, sir, because I want to, I want to be 2 more years with Swami. And after that, I don't know, sir, I think I'll have to search for something else that will keep me near Swami. Then he told me, he said, I remember that in class 11, you had told me that you want to stay with Swami. See, it's easy as a child to say that you dedicate your life for Swami. As you grow up, different things will come. He said, though it is commendable that you still have that goal that you want to be with Swami, you can already notice the change, because in 11th you said, I want to be with Swami. And now when I ask you, you say, I want MBA because I want to be with Swami. It has already become like, you know, So he said, don't have like that. Continue to hold on to, I want to be with Swami, because you can be with Swami even without the MBA. Don't go into this, because there's a danger that you get focused on to MBA, that you forget Swami. So, yeah, this was the other thought that came in my head, because let us not think that anything is small enough to be offered to Swami. And second, let us remember that the objective of doing everything for Swami is because our goal is Swami, not the actual actions that we do. The objective is always about keeping Swami happy and trying to be with Swami.
And absolutely. And in fact, if we were to look at it, I think that's what we learned from Swami's life itself. And when we go through Swami's early life, I think that's what is so obvious, that, you know, here is a God. Of course, it's understood that we are all desperate to be a part of Swami's life. You know, we want to, Swami has a day of 24 hours. We want to feature in that 24 hours. We want Swami to give us an interview. We want Swami to look at us. We want Swami to talk to us. And, you know, if Swami is doing some project, we want to be a part of that. But we don't realize that when God comes down in a human form, the sacrifice is, that's not the right word to describe what, you know, Swami has done. But if you were to use that word for the lack of any other better word, what God does to come in a human form is much, much, much more than what you and I have done to be in Swami's presence. And if you look at why has God done that, we will realize that, you know, He is desperate to become a part of our life. And we forget that. And I think that's the most important message we miss most of the time, because we still want to confine Him only to the puja room. We still want to confine Him to that few hours in the morning or few, no, I mean, who prays for hours?
It's few minutes.
Or a few minutes before our lunch and dinner, or a few minutes every now and then, which we, you know, when we have a problem. We want to confine Swami only to those pockets in our life. But here is Swami who is like desperately wanting to become a part of our life, become a part of every small thing and big thing that we do. And that's what we've seen in Swami's, when we speak about Swami's early years, that everything Swami wanted to be a part of. Swami wanted to be a part of the decoration of the altar. Swami wanted to be a part of a festival that you were planning to worship Him, or a palanquin that you're building to carry Him in. Everything Swami would come and say, okay, how are you doing it? You know, shall we plan it this way? Shall we do it this way? I think that emotion that the Lord, who actually is beyond emotion, puts on is a message for all of us that this is what Swami wants from us. He wants to literally break into our lives.
See, though Swami is happy that even when we dedicate just a few minutes of the day to Him, Swami is happy with that. It's better than not doing anything at all. But as you rightly said, we have to keep increasing. And it is practically not possible for me to sit 3 hours in prayer. The other day in Bangalore, I visited a devotee's home. And he happens to be the district president of South Bangalore. And I went to the puja room. It was beautifully decorated with flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, what is the special occasion today? He said, no, this is how it is every day. I said, wow, how do you do this? He said, no, my wife does it. I said, oh my God, her prayer must be lasting at least about half an hour. He said, no, 2.5 hours. It is amazing to consistently do that for 2.5 hours. But all of us say that not all of us will be blessed with that. With that 2.5 hours, I have other things to do. How can I dedicate 2.5 hours for the puja of the Lord? I mean, that is where the compassionate nature of our Swami comes in, where He says that any work that we do as an offering to Him becomes an offering to Him. He has said work is worship, duty becomes God. It's not just that I have to offer a rose flower or a jasmine flower. If I'm able to find time and resources to do that, very good, wonderful. But if I'm not able to, it doesn't mean that I can't make an offering to God. And as we said in the introduction, the sports meet teaches us this very lesson, because I don't know if our listeners know, but the entire sports meet, the concept of a sports meet itself, arose from a thought like this, wherein one thought, why not we involve Swami in this activity or in that activity, though it might appear to be very small. I think that will be a very interesting thing to hear.
Yeah, very true. The way we look at sports meet today, it's one of the, not just the biggest event in the calendar of the university. That's understandable, because that's an important event for the students and the staff. But the reason why it has become an important event in the calendar of Prashanthi Nilayam itself is, one, of course, the amount of attention that Swami gave. And the other thing is, it has become such a grand event. It has become such an important event which happens in Prashanthi Nilayam, involving not just the students and staff. We know the amount of involvement the ashram authorities have to do. The whole maintenance department actually helps the students. And you have the mandir authorities helping the students with the various necessities there. But the way it all began was with this thought of, you know, what can we do to bring Swami more into our lives, or give more opportunities for Swami, you know, to really be with us, right? It's, everybody wants to be with Swami. Everybody wants to, you know, spend more time with Swami. But the question that we all have to ask is, are we creating enough opportunities for that? Are we constantly thinking, what can I do so that I will be thinking about Swami and I can have Swami around me? And when Swami was physically there, I think that's what the students did. We were talking to some of the students who were in the first batch of the school. As we know, the higher secondary school started, I think, in the year 83 or 82, if I'm not wrong. The primary school was there, but this, as the primary school students were coming to 7th and 8th standard, that's how the higher secondary school came, where the boys used to stay with the school, with the university boys in the same hostel, but they got a separate school building. So they wanted to start this sports meet, this culture of the sports meet, and they went and told Swami that, Swami, we want to organize an event like this. We want to have a sports day. It was not even a sports meet in that sense. But we just want to have a sports day. Swami,
it was just that campus. That
right, just the school boys. Mm. They went up to Swami and said, Swami, we want to have a sports day. Will you come? And Swami was very happy. He said, yeah, why not? I'll come. And they fixed the date. And Swami said he'll come on one particular afternoon to come and see the sports meet. And that time the Hillview Stadium was not there. The Ishwarama school, behind that there used to be a stage. I think even now it is there. Correct. Where they used to have that assembly. So they decided that on that stage they'll make a dais for Swami. And they'll perform all the events in front of Swami. Just that small space before that stage. And the way they prepared for it is so very beautiful. You know, it's when you look back at it. Mm. Because these were just the school boys who came together and they said, let's do something. We'll do something, an event which Swami can come and be a part of. So they went so many times before, at that particular time of the day. They wanted to see how the weather was during that time, how the sun is falling on the stage. So they very precisely calculated which place Swami's throne should be and where they should put a curtain so that the sun does not hit Swami's face.
So sweet.
Right? Mm. So they calculated all of that over so many days, went and stood there, put a chair for Swami and all that. And they decided a particular curtain had to be made. So they got that made and they covered. And they realized that that curtain in that particular orientation will prevent the sun from falling on Swami for about 1.5 hours or something like that.
Okay.
So if Swami stays for any longer, you can, the, you know, the orientation of the sun will change and Swami is, will have to sit in the sunlight. So accordingly, they planned the programs that it should get over by this particular time. And then they had to make a roof for the stage. So they said they, I mean, you couldn't get anything in Parthi. They had to go to Anantapura, Hindupura, wherever. And they got this huge canvas and they put that up. So after they put it, it looked very, very odd to have Swami sit under a canvas roof like that.
Tarpaulin.
You know, like, just like a tarpaulin or something. So I think a couple of days before that event, they made an announcement in the hostel. Whoever has white dhotis in the hostel, please come and give it to us. We want to stitch it together. So all the students and staff who were in the hostel who had white dhotis came and, you know, they collected it together. And there were a few boys who volunteered to sit and stitch it together. So all the dhotis were stitched together. And that was made as a roof, under the tarpaulin, so that it looks a little better than just having that canvas,
sheet.
You know, plastic sheet. Mm. I mean, can you imagine dhotis which boys are using themselves to become a part of that? But that's how it is. And, you know, so beautifully then Swami comes. Swami was so happy. And what was the event? There were no bike stunts. There were no bungee jumping and all that. There was lemon and spoon and sack race and, you know, whatever, those kind of simple games which you used to play for fun. So all of that was there. And who were the guests? The university students were the guests. You know, they were all called and they were all sitting, and the parents were staying in the ashram. They all came. And the boys were explaining how, when that event was going on, and Swami was very happy, of course. And Swami sat for a little longer and they could see the sunlight actually creeping
closer
into the stage, closer to the stage. And they were praying, oh God, Swami, it's coming, it's going to come. And they were seeing that just when the sunlight came and touched exactly where Swami's footrest was, and you could see the sunlight falling on Swami's feet. At that time, Swami said, oh, okay, enough. Let's conclude the program. And
wow.
Swami got into the car, and, you know, I think the captain of the school was there. He went up to the car and gave a send-off to Swami. And then as Swami was getting into the car, Swami called the captain. And Swami said, all of you go to the school. I've got something for you there. So they didn't know what it was. They quickly wound up and they ran to the school and they found that Swami had got ice creams and put in the school so that they can have after the sports meet. And imagine, this is how the sports meet started. And it was, it can't even be called an event. It was only that Swami wanted, I mean, students wanted Swami to spend some time with them. And Swami was more than happy and more than delighted to relent to a request like that.
As I hear your narration, you know, I am reminded of another beautiful episode wherein the same thing gets highlighted. The fact that when you want Swami to be part of your life, what you might do, what you might think of might be very small. But over the years, one can never imagine what proportions it will grow to. I am sure during those days, none of the students or teachers or anybody from the university ever imagined that few years down the line, in that very spot, a huge annual sports meet will be held, and it will be viewed by people like the chief ministers, the other ministers. Even the Prime Minister has visited the ground once during the Satsa Unity Cup, yes. So, such dignitaries will be coming and watching as guests of Bhagwan, and Bhagwan will be hosting them. Who would have ever imagined in that manner? As I said, it reminds me of another episode that happened in the Vrindavan days. That was the time when plans were being drawn to build a hostel for the students. Because the earliest hostel for the students was, as they say, they shared space with the cows in the shed, you know, almost like that, because it was formerly a cow shed and it had been cleaned up and revamped. The cows had given other accommodation, and in that shed, all the students, you know, they cleaned up, and that is where they would be staying. And once the university came up, there was a need to have a hostel because more and more students would be coming in, and plans were afoot to build the hostel in Vrindavan. And this incident is based at that time, and I recollect how beautifully and emotionally Dr. Ravi Kumar would narrate this in Bhagwan's presence n number of times. How Swami called, I think, Colonel Jogarao, and Swami was planning this entire building, the hostel building. And the students got to know that the hostel building would be right next to the university building. And it actually makes sense, because you go to the university every morning and you come back to the hostel every evening. So it makes sense that they are close to each other. So for those who have seen Vrindavan, there is a huge cricket ground and football ground. Possibly some area over there, the hostel had been planned. But that was when one of the students wrote a letter to Swami. And when he gave it, Swami read the letter and asked the boy, can that letter be read
out? Just the day before the groundbreaking or something.
Correct. Yes. Yes, it was. They had even planned a groundbreaking ceremony. That is the ceremony to mark the beginning of the construction. So they will start breaking the ground to dig deep and lay the foundation. Yes, so that was the one day before that, when the area, everything had been marked, Swami just had to go and, you know, break the coconuts the traditional manner, and then it would begin. Because another interesting thing, Prem, I notice is, if we see Swami's life, Swami has never made a big fuss or deal about any groundbreaking ceremony. We always have, you know, so-called VIPs and chief guests coming in for the inauguration alone. I mean, you know, because Swami would say that groundbreaking is just the beginning of the project. When it's completed, that is when there has to be celebration, there has to be whatever, you know, an occasion to mark it. Even the super speciality hospital, luckily we have a few photographs. If you see that photograph, without the slightest ado, Swami was there one day, just went there, broke a few coconuts and said, it's begin.
That, you know, when it came to the Whitefield Hospital, it was even a step further. Swami said, when the inauguration is happening, I want patients to be already admitted.
Wow, look
and
at
he
that.
He said, when the inauguration is happening, on the corridors around that central place where that whole event happened, there were actually patients in their, patients' dress, watching
the green overalls kind of. See, that is such a important message and a subtle message that is being given, because nowadays, if you see, there's a lot of, not nowadays, I think from quite some time, there's a lot of fanfare about groundbreaking ceremonies. How many groundbreaking ceremonies we see in which not even 10% meet the light of the day, you know, they see the light of the day. They don't actually manifest into projects. You'll keep seeing foundation stone laid by so and so, and nothing happens. That's why you'll see none of Swami's buildings have this thing called foundation stone laid by. It'll always have inaugurated by, because that is it's an aside, but I feel that's such a powerful message that Swami gives, because Swami's style is like that. Swami's style is not about making a big fanfare about groundbreaking ceremonies. It's about having the thing working and going ahead with. So Swami actually had told Jogarao to get everything ready and the groundbreaking ceremony would be done. That is when this boy gives a letter to Swami, and Swami asks this boy, can I read out this letter? He says, Swami, whatever. And in that boy has written that, Swami, we heard that you are building a hostel for us, but we also heard that it's being built so far away from your residence, because Swami at that time, I think, was in the bungalow, which stood in the place of where the Trai Vrindavan is today. It's a good 300 to 400 meters away. So he said, Swami, for us, a good hostel is not important. We are ready to stay where we are staying itself, in this shed. We are happy because we are close to you. What is more important is that we should be close to you. You know, this boy sincerely desired that he wanted, I mean, not, he was a representative of all the students, so they wanted Swami to be with them, and that's what was most important. That is when Swami called Principal Narendra and asked, what should I do? You know, this boy is saying like this. Principal Narendra said, Swami, yes, Swami, I mean, I know that it's convenient to have the hostel there, but the boys, definitely it is more important that Swami is with them rather than have a good building. Instantly, without a second thought, Swami called Colonel Jogarao and told him, Jogarao, cancel those plans. We shall have the hostel right next to Swami's residence, and that's where the Brindavan hostel currently is. In fact, there was a big tank. My father, who used to go to Brindavan in the early days, he says that there was a huge water tank there, and that is the reason why actually the hostel had to be built far away, because nearby there was no space in Brindavan. And if you see between the ground and the Brindavan hostel, there is actually a road that goes through. So there was a road that was bisecting the property. So it was difficult to build there because there was that huge water tank. In fact, there are many occasions where when the tank is dry, Swami would be seated in the tank and people would sit along the walls of the tank. It was like an arena there. But Swami decided, and the hostel has been built over the tank even to this day. That's why possibly it's the only hostel among Swami's hostels that has a basement floor. You know, that has a basement floor where all these dietary services, the library, the maintenance department, the costume department, all of them are located. And today when we look back, all of that happened because of a single student's, one little boy's prayer that expressed earnestness and eagerness that Swami should be part of our life and we should not be far away from Swami. So at that point in time, however small it may look, when it involves involving God, it should be taken, because there's nothing that is too big for God, there's nothing that is too small for God.
That's one of the most beautiful incidents we've heard be narrated in front of Swami so many times. And I think it all starts with that desire, you know, if you look at it, all that we are going to narrate today. And all that Swami did, or Swami was trying his best to do, was to inspire that desire. And I think when it comes to us, it is not about just having that desire, but having it and then fostering it. And fostering that is through our effort. And from Swami's point of view, Swami was like, you know, he did not look for perfection. He did not look for, you know, is it the best thing? Is it worthy of being offered to me? Because if he was to really look at it that way, I don't think we can come up with anything which is worthy of offering to him. But Swami wanted us to desire to do something for him. Swami wanted us to work on it. And for whatever it was worth, Swami said, you give it to me, because, you know, whether you offer it or not, it is going to reach him. But when we do it with that sense of offering, I think that is when we make Swami a part of our life. So we'll take a short break now, dear listeners, and we have more such sweet stories to narrate. But don't go away. It's a beautiful song. Listen to it. On the other side of it, we'll continue.
Bandhama, tema kurupa. గడిచే ప్రతి క్షణం నీతోనే గడపాలని. గడిచే ప్రతి క్షణం నీతోనే గడపాలని. మేము వినే పదాలన్నీ మాటలు కావాలని. గడిచే ప్రతి క్షణం నీతోనే గడపాలని. మేము వినే పదాలన్నీ నీ మాటలే కావాలని. మాలోని తలపులన్నీ నీకు వివరించాలని. క్రియలన్నీ కర్తకే అంకితం చేయాలని. వేచి ఉన్నాము ఈ రోజుకై ఊనేస్తమా.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Before we took that break, we were talking about the hostel, how the hostel in Vrindavan came to be built in the place where it is right now, where one small student wrote to Swami a very, very beautiful, heartfelt letter in which he writes saying that, Swami, are you upset with us? If you're upset with us, please shout at us. Please, you know, take us to task, but please don't throw us out of your presence like this. And, I mean, going back to what you were telling about Sairam sir, I told you that, you know, it's about you making the prayer and going back to the essential prayer that you actually have in your mind. I mean, it's not about the hostel should be here or there. It's about we want to be next to you. And the solution part of it is actually Swami will take care, because that's exactly what Swami did. You know, there was a architectural concern here. Where do you build the hostel? There's a tank here. How do you build? But the rest of it, Swami took care. You know, Swami sat with Colonel Jogaram and Swami told him, I will tell you how to build it. Let's build it like this, and probably it's, I mean, who will believe that hostel which was built, I think, must be in 70-something, is still standing and serving the boys and men. It's been a home to all of us. I mean, the working part of it, I think Swami will take care. The important thing is to stick to our essential prayer. I think that's what is important. It reminds me, when you're talking about the hostel, another visit that Swami made. But this is, of course, not to the hostel. This is to the school. Again, narrated by those first batch students. I think the first batch of 11th standard students, you know, they were younger boys. But I think around 83 or 84, they started taking boys from the 11th standard, like how they do these years. So these boys had all newly joined the school. And I think around the same time was the time when Habbu sir had come from Vrindavan. Swami had made him the new principal. So there was a new principal, some new teachers, and the new students. So everything about the school was literally new, and everything was being made. The schedule was being made, the prayer, the assembly, and everything in consultation with Swami. Okay, this is what you should do. In fact, some of them would say that when they joined that particular batch for the first time, they had a good number of students from North India. The percentage of students from North India actually became more than 50% during one of those batches. So that's when Swami realized, every day when he would come and ask the students, what did you have? He realized from the response that they were not liking the food. So Swami called the warden, sat in the interview room, and made a schedule for the entire week after that, which was a mix of North Indian and South Indian dishes. And Swami taught the warden how to introduce the South Indian dishes in such a way that the boys get accustomed to it, rather than you giving them sambar three times a day as soon as they land. And of course, they were saying that now we are so fond of South Indian food that, you know, we are literally craving for that. So that was that time of the year when everything was new and everything was being attempted and tried for the first time. So some of these students went up to the principal and said, sir, it's a new school building that we have. We have never invited Swami to the school after the school has started functioning. Shall we go and invite Swami? And the principal, Habbu sir, you know, he came from very traditional belief systems that, you know, this is Swami, we need to worship him, we need to adore him. And of course, there's nothing wrong in that approach which he had. But with that reverence which he held Swami, I mean, till the very end, he had that same reverence for Swami, which is itself an unbelievable thing. So he told these students, you know, how can you invite Swami to his school? You know, this is his school. He has permitted us to be here, and it's an act of grace from his point. How do you go and tell Swami that, Swami, come to the school? He said, you know, he's God. He will come wherever he wants, and we should be prepared. And when he says, I want to come, we should be, you know, we should do something. So he said, no, it's not easy. You can't go and simply tell Swami that you can come to his school. So the boys were a little disappointed. So they decided that, why not ask Swami directly? Why should we ask the principal or the other people? So one day they sat in the mandir, evening time, and when Swami was casually walking around and coming to the portico where the boys were sitting, a few of them got up and said, Swami, please come to the school. And to their surprise, Swami's face lit up and Swami said, school, yeah, when should I come? Swami said, you know, what is the occasion? Swami said, why do you want me to come?
So you say that, you see that even in those days, subtly Swami says, please don't have intermediaries, come to me direct.
Absolutely. And, you know, Swami was so delighted when, you know, the little children asked him to come to school, and Swami said, what is the occasion? And they had not thought of anything. There was no occasion, there was no festival, there was no reason for Swami to come. And one of the boys just blurted out, Swami, there's a music program. There was no music program. And Swami said, oh, music program. So when is it? When do you want me to come? And they were really stunned, because they were not expecting that Swami will ask, when do you want me to come? They thought Swami will tell, you know, you speak to the warden, you speak to this person or that person. Swami said, tell me what date I should come. So they said, Swami, whatever date you fix. Then Swami said, today is what day? Okay, today is a Monday. Thursday is a good day. I'll come on a Thursday, Swami said. So they said, yes, Swami, we'll prepare for Thursday. Then Swami looked around and Swami said, where is the principal? Principal, come here. The boys have invited me to the school. And the principal is staring at the boys. He says, what have you done? And Swami says, boys have invited me. It seems there is some music program. So I've told them I'll come on Thursday. So you make preparations. And the students were saying, they made the prayer, they got the blessing answered. But after that, all the authorities had to run around, because it was not at all ready for Swami's visit. So they had a lot of other work to be done and all that. But, you know, that beautiful thing of, you know, Swami was, when Swami said that, when you want me to come, it was so obvious that Swami was waiting to be called. Swami was waiting that, you know, when will you take the step and come and ask me, Swami, we want to do something, we want you to come. And I think that was the most important thing, because most often it is that diffidence which keeps us away from Swami, as Ruchasa was once narrating in a speech, I think last year, when he was talking in Mandir, our lecturer from Vrindavan. He was telling, one day Swami walked up to him and Swami asked him, "Hey Ruchir, what is the distance between you and me?" Swami asked. And he was sitting about 3 or 4 feet away from Swami, and he was looking at himself and he was looking at where Swami was standing, and he was wondering, what should I tell Swami? Should I tell him the distance, and should I tell it in meters, or is Swami asking a spiritual question? What should my answer be? And Swami said, "Tell, what is the distance between you and me?" And he was still making up his mind what to tell, and Swami gave a very beautiful answer and so profound. Swami said, "The distance between you and me is the distance between me and you." And he said, that is one statement I keep going back to, because we keep asking, "Swami, why are you not coming to me? Why are you not coming to me? Why there is a distance between you and me?" Swami is saying, the distance is because you have created that distance. The distance between me and you is the distance you have created between you and me. And I think that is the distance Swami was waiting when we will breach and when we will call him to become a part of our life.
Wonderfully said. On another note, you said that this was the time when the school and hostel was just settling, the routine had not been fixed, nothing was in order. They needed some time to put it in order. I am sure that impending visit within a week's time would have helped in putting everything on track and in order very fast. That might be a secondary objective that Swami achieved with that also.
Absolutely.
It again reminded me of something that my wife told me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
She was saying that when she was in primary school, 1996, I think, or 95, this year, one of these 2 years, they had made little models of a mosque, of a church, of the hostel, different models in thermocol, big ones, but definitely models. And they took it to the mandir, and when they showed it to Swami, Swami was so happy. And Swami said, "What do you want?" He asked children, "What do you want?" And all of them said, "Swami, please come to hostel. Please come to hostel." And Swami said, "Yes, I'll come. What is there in hostel?" And they all said, "Swami, we have an exhibition in hostel." That's what they said. Swami said, "Okay." And like this, only gave a date, either next Thursday or in the next few days, I'm coming. So they went back, and it was a flurry of activities there, because they had to have an exhibition ready now. And they made so many charts, so many models. But what she said was, these models that they had taken to Swami in the mandir, they only became the centerpieces in that exhibition, because they had spent so much time making it. And that was kept as the thing in the exhibition. And Swami came and he spent time with all of them in the hostel. It was wonderful. It was terrific. And Swami went all around looking at the exhibits. But Swami definitely noticed, though he didn't make a mention, he noticed that the same models had been kept there. And this also happened somewhere during the sports meet time only.
Mm-hmm.
Because a few weeks later, they once again prayed to Swami to come to the hostel for prize distribution. Swami said, "Okay, I'll come for prize distribution." So again, they had to make the prayer all ready. And once again, the same models went. And this time, as soon as Swami entered, Swami said, "Hey, same model. You showed in mandir, you put here also." Now, that was so sweet. And of course, the prize distribution ceremony went on. But it just goes to show that when there is steadfastness and sincerity in effort, that's all it is that makes Swami happy. It's not about the result, it's not about the impact that it will create. I mean, you're reusing the same model for the third time. And yet, because of the sincerity and steadfastness of the effort behind that, Swami is ready to appreciate it again and, make himself available. So, really, as long as we are sure that the effort that we are putting in is sincere, pure and steadfast, I don't think we have to think about a result being this grand enough or this big enough, then only it's worthy for Swami. It's not like that. It's never about the result. It's always about the effort. As long as our effort is sincere and steadfast, even the smallest activity, when I'm eating food, if I'm sincere and steadfast in my effort in eating food, then it's worthy of offering to Swami. However small the activity may be, cutting my nails, if I'm sincere and steadfast, if I'm not looking at the television while cutting my nail and cutting my finger, when there is dedication and determination and sincerity in that work, however small the activity may be, it's worthy of dedication to Swami. And I think that's the spirit that all these incidents amplify.
One thing which probably we need to mention is, when we today look at some of these events which happened in Swami's presence, be it the sports meet, be it the convocation drama, be it the convocation ceremony itself, or be it Swami's birthday celebrations. It's very easy for us to look at it and, you know, say that, oh, it's all so grand. So anything that has to be offered to Swami should be of that level. I think it happens to many people, especially in Sai Siddhas and Samitis. You know, they feel that that is the standard that needs to be offered to Swami. So if you're doing an event, which is say at the state level or the district level or the country level, there's always this desire to make it so big. There's absolutely nothing wrong. You know, we need to put our best foot forward and offer our best to Swami. That is there, but I think we should not forget that all of it had humble beginnings like this. And those humble beginnings, Swami was so very happy to be a part of. So I think that is something which we should not forget. It's not that Swami says, oh, you do all that you have to do and you bring the best of what you've done and come and offer it to me and that I will accept. A simple thing like, you know, today when we see Swami's birthday celebrations, we see the cake which is kept there. It's like so huge. We see a cake from the Vrindavan campus. We see a cake from the Prashant Nilayam campus, which is probably a 3 or 4 tier cake. And then you have a cake from each of the hospitals. And you see that, I think, 80th birthday, the entire bhajan hall and that veranda was filled with cakes, and Swami would spend at least 20 minutes
just cutting
the cakes. You know, but if you think of that, we were talking to one of our lecturers who is right now in the Prashant Nilayam campus. He was telling that the first cake was made when they were students. And it just started by, you know, some students who said that, Swami's birthday, what can we do for Swami? You know, what can we make and take for Swami? And it was, I think, just 2 or 3 students who got together and made that first cake, which was very, very ordinary and very, very rudimentary, to say the least. And because what else do you offer to Swami? And they could not think of anything else as little students. And they said, okay, we'll make a cake. And that was the first cake which was made for Swami's birthday, which was probably, I think, in the early 80s or something, around the same period when everything was new. So they made it and they went and sat in the portico, and Swami was so happy to see it. I mean, it had no design, it had, you know, no aesthetically, it was not perfect. But just the fact that some of these students started this new tradition, they said we wanted to make something for Swami, and we made it. And today when we see it, we think that only that grandeur is to be offered to Swami. No, it is not the grandeur, it is only that feeling that Swami accepts. That feeling is the same whether it is a very ordinary thing that is being offered or something which is very, very grand.
Rightly put, because it is the grandeur of the feeling and the sincerity of the effort that counts. You know, if the effort is sincere and the feeling is noble and you end up with something grand, it's worthy of offering to Swami. If you end up with something not so grand, which is simple, that's also worthy of offering to Swami, because Swami is not seeing the end result. I think that is what we need to emphasize. It is not as if you shouldn't plan a grand thing for Swami. But we should not forget that it's not like, you know, I want to have a state conference, so therefore I will just dole out 20 lakh rupees and call somebody and get interior decorators to make up the hall in a most amazing manner. No, that is not the thing. I get involved, I put up the decorations, I plan how it will be. Like, just like how you said, you know, those boys were thinking where the sunlight will fall, who should Swami be. I think it is significant that the first time it was made, they made it with their own dhotis. Literally things closest to their sweat and toil, you know. Made it with that, because that is what Swami appreciates. If the result is grand, but efforts have not been there, which are, you know, efforts and feelings are not grand, it doesn't matter at all for Swami. Swami has, we have seen umpteen times where Swami has rejected such things which in a worldly sense look so grand. You know, I'm reminded of one occasion where one of the campuses had planned a bike stunt. Mm-hmm. And among all the bikes was one scrambler bike, a dirt bike, which is capable of doing great things. You know, it has got great capabilities, a powerful engine and a big throttle and all that. So one of the students was training on that. And days before the actual sports meet, you know, because of a mishap, the bike hit and the student was injured, and he had a couple of bones broken. He was admitted in the hospital and he was fine, he was recovering. But then there was nobody to ride the scrambler bike. So therefore, what they did was, the trainer, the person who was training, he came and did the feat. And he is an experienced person, he has been doing this for 10-12 years, and the impact was tremendous. The whole stadium was screaming and whistling in joy when you saw this guy. Because originally they had planned a small ramp, because the student had learned only that much. But now that the professional was doing it, they literally ramped it up. He went up to almost like 25-30 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It was a jaw-dropping sight, and all of us cheered and were thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
But later what we got to know was, on stage Swami told a teacher and Swami told some people around that this is only stunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when he was saying stunt, he was giving the other meaning of the stunt as well. Not that it was a bike stunt, but it's also a kind of a publicity stunt, because Swami said, this is the training, the coach, he has been doing this so many times, he can do it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Swami made it very clear, you know, that it's not about the height that the bike goes to that matters, but the sincerity and efforts that my boys put in. I'm not in any slightest way saying that the coach is not having effort and sincerity. I'm just saying that the idea of involving a coach to do something in a student sports meet is simply because we think that with the helmet on, nobody will notice the difference. That's where, you know, the feeling gets polluted, because Swami sees only the feeling. I remember that teacher said that he got up and told Swami, Swami, next year we promise we will do something fantastic all by the student. We will do it. And they did it. There was aerosports, there was show jumping by horses, different things they have done. But Swami made it very clear that it's not about how grand it appears. It's about how grand the feeling that goes in. You know, on the same note, I remember when I was studying in Vrindavan, I joined one of the items which was called the kettle drums, the kettle drummers. And there was an item called the celestial rhythms, where on a grid that is about 30-40 feet in the air, boys would do acrobatic and aerobic exercises. And it was a fantastic sight. And we were to provide only the beats for that exercise. You know, the exercise will be done on beats, and we were providing the beats with the drums. And honestly, though it was a tough thing to learn, you know, it's not easy to learn playing the kettle drums. Personally, it took me almost 15 days of daily practice. You know, there's something called a roll. When you hit it with the drum, instead of getting one tongue, you have to get one trr. To get the trr, which is called the roll, you need to practice so much. In fact, I remember my fingers would get worn out and the skin would peel off. It was very painful. And in fact, the day I learned to get the roll, wow, I was so thrilled. It was like an achievement for me. But you know, I really felt very small. I felt that finally in front of Swami, you know, we are going to play. It's not going to look awesome at all, you know. Tan tararam paradam tam 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 tan tararam paradam. You just do something like that. And I mean, it doesn't look impressive. Nothing it is. I was feeling so low. I remember that night, I had a dream in which Swami came and said, I am very happy. That was the night when I had mastered this art of producing a roll. And Swami said, call all the kettle drummers. And he said, I am very happy with you, Bangarus. He gave us, you know, in my dream, he gave us food to eat and all this. And of course, you know, one might say that it was your dream or something like that. But when I shared it with the group, everybody was very happy. Sanjay Sani sir, who is currently the controller of examinations for the university, he was the teacher in charge for that presentation that year. And he also inspired us so much. I remember that year, finally, when we performed, that was the only year when I was a student that Swami came down and gave photographs. Not Swami came down, I mean, Swami gave photographs for us in the mandir as Swami came out. And finally, when we look at the photographs, our photos are as good and as close to Swami, holding Swami, as the boys who did the celestial rhythms on the top. You know, finally, when it came to Swami being with us, it was equal for all. That is why I feel, you know, Swami's God's model has the best of both capitalism and socialism. It has that aspect of capitalism where more, if you do more, you are rewarded more. But it has that aspect of socialism wherein, you know, in capitalism also, though they say that more effort you put, more result you get, it's not like a sweeper's effort and a CEO's effort pay back the same thing. That is where, you know, you find, that's why this huge inequality. In fact, even if a sweeper makes 10 times the effort of a CEO, with all sincerity, he will still not get even 1,000th of what the CEO is earning. That's how it is. But that's where in God's kingdom, that socialism comes in. Wherein as long as the sincerity and quality of effort is same, all are rewarded equally. And that is why I say it is the best of both the worlds, and it's a beautiful thing to be part of.
I think before we conclude this topic, we'll take a short break. And there are endless stories like this, because if you look at it, if we choose to look at it from this point of view, I think we see that everything that Swami did was this. Swami was constantly trying to inspire us to do whatever it takes to make Swami a part of our lives. And I think everything that Swami did, we're talking about sports meet and a few incidents related to the students. We'll speak a few more before we conclude, but before that, we'll take a short break. Don't go away, dear listeners, because there are a few more stories, at least, which we would like to narrate before we conclude today.
Tere hai saayi, hum tere hai.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were talking about incidents where many of what we see today as part of the sports meet or as part of the many events which happen in Swami's presence, how it all started small and what is the message that it has for us. It is not that Swami is waiting for us to offer him the most extravagant of offerings or do something really worthy, as we think worthy of Swami, and then offer it to Swami. What Swami wants is to make us a part of everything, to make us a part of the inspiration, make him the part of the inspiration, make him the part of the effort, as well as make him the part of the offering. I think everything that happened in Swami's presence had that overtone. For we've mentioned this many times, whenever we speak about the convocation drama, that was one event which we would see Swami playing this role, that role about the Swami would play from the start to the finish, because every character in the drama would be chosen by Swami, the script would be approved by Swami. Swami has gone to the details of, you know, which person would wear what costume. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Swami will say, no, I don't like this headdress, you know, get it changed. Swami will look at the makeup and everything. And probably the most hilarious of all involvement I remember of Swami in a convocation drama is when one of our seniors played the role of a lady in one of the dramas. And that scene was supposed to be a shadow act, a shadow play kind of a thing, where he was supposed to come as Rajalakshmi or something like that, some character like that. And the whole thing was a shadow play. But Swami spent 20-25 minutes on how that boy was dressed to look like a girl, including his makeup.
Which was not
necessary in the drama at all, except for the last scene where he would come for a group photograph. None of us would really see him, but Swami spent 25 minutes with the makeup and the dressing up of that boy. And Swami would involve himself so much, from the stage of the scripting to the casting to the development of the script, to the point in the end when the makeup was done for the final day, and then Swami would come and sit on the throne which was placed for him, which was like the seat of honor for the main guest in any auditorium. You know, of course, that was rightfully Swami's place. But Swami would sit there after he had done all of these roles. And I think that was the message that Swami was giving. Don't make me part of that final stage where I would come and sit and watch the entire offering that you're giving. But make me a part of it from the time when you have the desire that I want to do something for Swami.
Absolutely. You know, it's about making Swami the center of all our activities and not just a part of our thing. You know, often we say, let's make Swami a part of our life. And we feel that it's an awesome statement to make. But it's not about making Swami a part of our life. It's about making him the center of all activities, you know. Because that is the way we will be able to do everything that we do in our life as an offering to him. And, you know, when it comes to offerings to him, we have had many occasions where we see that Swami is very, very possessive about it, you know, in the sense he says that your heart is not a music chair, it's a single seater sofa. You know, he wants, not only does Swami want your heart, Swami wants your heart all for himself. That is how it is. So that's why I say, when we say that we want Swami to be part of it, we should ensure that we are not making Swami a part of our life, but the center of our life.
Right, it starts with that. As I mean, I think we've made that statement, at least I've made that statement so many times through today's program, saying that Swami should become a part of our life. But it, as you rightly pointed out, it starts with that, but it should never stop with that. I think that is where our effort comes into place, where, you know, Swami has come into our life to inspire us to ask. But once we ask, I think we have to labor to ensure that from being a part, he becomes the center of our lives. And I recall when you were talking about the sports meet, there's one aspect about the sports meet which is actually very important and very exciting for our students, which does not happen in public view. And that is the cultural side of the sports meet, which happens before the presentation on the 11th of January. For many people who don't know, generally a sports meet is a event where many of the sports activities happen on the ground. I think that's how it used to be in our school and all that, where you would have the 100-meter dash.
It's called the sports day.
Right, sports day kind of a thing. But in Swami's presence, it's actually a presentation which is on the 11th of January. And all of these competitions are done with before the 11th of January event happens. So we would have all our debates and quizzes and
the competition, elocution, drama,
all of that, including the sports competitions. And that's why Swami would give the prizes on the 14th of January, the Sankranti day. And one of the very exciting competitions which used to have in Prashanta Nilayam is the orchestra and the drama competition, where the house, the undergraduate and the postgraduate houses would have a competition between themselves. And you would have an orchestra competition where it was a full-fledged orchestra with a theme, and then, you know, you had the band being one part of the orchestra, then you would have vocals, you would have a dramatic element and all of that.
I remember during the selections, they would always try to equally distribute the band boys between the houses, also distribute the singers and instrumentalists.
Right. And we would have very interesting themes on which we had to think a lot. You know, it's not something that which was very simple. It wouldn't be like fast music or slow music. It would be a theme.
Solitude.
Yeah, solitude is one theme which we had. And I think rising above was one more theme which I...
Multiple themes, yes.
Very interesting themes on which you have to really think about. I recall when we were in our final year, I think it was the year 2003, the end of 2003. Mm. And all these events, even though they used to happen in the hostel or in the university, not in the mandir, not in Swami's presence, for all these events, we would actually take a card to Swami and say that, Swami, this is the program today. We are having this, you know, we are having a debate contest today. And sometimes Swami would ask who is there, who are the teams. Sometimes Swami will call the participants and bless them. Or Swami would speak something to them. And they would have all of these occasions. So it had become a tradition in the hostel that every opportunity you can get to, you know, some boys going up to Swami, or some opportunity where Swami will ask about some boys, every opportunity would be taken, you know, would be grabbed. And I think that is one of the most beautiful things in the hostel, because of which throughout the year you had activities which would make you think of Swami all the time. You know, what can you do? What card can you make? What can you event can you plan in which you can go and take Swami's blessings? So this orchestra competition was coming, and the card which was to be shown to Swami was being made in one of our rooms. In fact, in my room, because we were in the senior rooms.
Mm.
And we had this card boy who was doing this. And he was making a typically a card which represented a music competition with all the musical notes and all that.
Mm.
So then he asked me that, okay, what should we put as the wordings for that? Because you have to write something as a letter in that card. So I had no clue what has to be written. And I told him, yeah, generally we give a card to Swami, we pray that Swami should come for the event, right? So I said, okay, we'll write that. So I told him that, right, that Swami, we are praying for your physical presence in our during the orchestra competition, right? Because we had learnt that if you tell Swami, please come, the next day Swami will say, I came, but you didn't see me. So we made it a point to say that
physical presence.
Blesses with the physical presence. And that boy also wrote it. So the evening, two other boys, you know, that's another beautiful thing. Somebody would make the card, but it's not necessarily the same person takes the card. There'll be somebody else who will take the card and show it to Swami. So two other boys went up to Swami and showed this card. And Swami liked the card a lot, and he looked at it, and he started reading the contents of the card. And Swami said, oh, very nice, very happy, and he blessed the boys in the card. And Swami went back to the interview room. Swami called the vice chancellor. The orchestra competition was, I think, on the same day, right? That evening we had the orchestra competition. And Swami called the vice chancellor, and Swami said, so when should I come? And where is it? Is it in the institute auditorium? And the vice chancellor had no clue what Swami was talking about. So he said, Swami, for what? I mean, just now boys outside invited me. They said there's a music competition is there. They want Swami to come. So where should I come? What time is it? And vice chancellor started panicking. He said, oh God, what are these boys? Because even he doesn't attend that orchestra competition. It's a very in-house, within the hostel, and the school boys would come, and the boys working in the mandir would come. So he was also surprised. And you always have this concern, you know, when there's something like a hostel activity, is it really worthy to be offered to Swami? Because when it is being offered to Swami, we are very cautious about so many things, you know, the dressing, the language we use, the music which we use and all that. So he was not sure, is it really of that quality that can be offered to Swami? So he said, Swami, if Swami can come tomorrow, we'll have it tomorrow. So Swami said, okay, whenever you call me, I'll come. So then he came back, he called the warden, he said, what is happening? You never told me, I'm not informed. Then the warden called us. And he said, what is this? It seems you invited Swami. And then the warden understood that it was a routine which was followed and something, Swami has decided to come for the thing. So you can't tell Swami, don't come. This is not worthy of being offered to you, so don't come. So then they decided that the vice chancellor, the registrar of the university and the controller would come and listen to the program or see the program, and they will see if it is worthy to be offered to Swami or make some modifications if necessary. And the next day Swami would come and see, right? So for the first time, we had an orchestra competition being performed in front of less than 10 people. In the whole auditorium, nobody was there. The students were not allowed because they wanted the students to see the next day with Swami. And only these dignitaries were sitting. And of course, the few teacher in charge and the warden and all of them were sitting.
And I think, I'm sure that at that time, the attitude was no longer about beating the other house.
Right.
It was only about doing a good performance.
Doing a good performance, and the vice chancellor should go back and tell Swami that, yes, Swami, you can come and see. So the program was performed and all of that was done. And the next morning, the vice chancellor went and told Swami that you can come to the auditorium today. And Swami said, for what? So he said, Swami, there's orchestra competition. Swami said, no, I'm not coming. And then Swami came out, and then the boys, another card was made, and again Swami was invited. And they said, Swami, today we're having the orchestra competition. And Swami's body language was a little different. Swami was looking a little upset and unhappy. And Swami said, no, I'm not coming for the program today. So we were like praying, Swami, please come, Swami, we prepared all this and we are ready and all that. Swami said, no, I don't want to come. And then Swami made a statement, I think, which was very, very strong, and it actually was piercing that time, but very profound, and we need to go back to that. Swami said, why are you offering me something that you've already offered to somebody else? That's what Swami said. You've already offered to somebody else. And, you know, I don't know what is the word in Telugu that Swami used. Swami said, that which has been tasted by someone else, why do you want to offer it to me?
Food that has been defiled.
Right, defiled by somebody else is, eating. You're coming and offering it to me.
Leftovers.
And, that was, and needless to say, we did not have the performance that day for the rest of the hostel. I think that was the only year when the students never got to see the orchestra competition. Right? But that was such a strong message that Swami was giving. That whatever it is, you offer it to me. Don't think whether it is worthy of offering. But at the same time, let that be the primary motive. That Swami would oftentimes give that analogy of how we offer our lives to Swami. Swami would say that, it's like a banana leaf on which everything has been served. And after somebody has eaten, we know what a mess that thing makes, because the banana leaf itself is fragile. Swami says, like such a leaf, you want to offer it to Swami. And I remember Sai Prakash telling that, when Swami had taken him to Kodaikanal, Swami had told one of the VIPs that, this boy and his brother, he came to Swami when he was in his first standard. And then Swami said this analogy. He said, see, people come to Swami after they've been eaten on, literally in that sense.
Mm.
As a tattered banana leaf, they come to me. They came to me like a tender leaf. Before they could be touched by the world, their parents offered them to me. Swami said this. And Swami would say, that is how you should offer to Swami. Swami should be the first person that you offer yourself to.
That's a very, very beautiful insight. And as the clock in our studio is showing 1:58, I think I have enough time to just squeeze in one little thought. Basically, it's not a new thought. It's just a corollary of what we have discussed so far. I think we have all said about how we should invite Swami, bring Swami into everything we do, make him the center of our life. And of course, we added on with the thought that offering should be done purely and for him, and not as a leftover. We do it for somebody else, and then, okay, Swami, same thing, we give it to you also. I think another way of seeing this same thing or saying the same thing is, if we are thinking or speaking or doing something for which we cannot invite Swami, it's better that we don't do it. I think that can be a touchstone for us to measure our own thoughts, words and deeds. Whatever we are thinking, speaking or doing, can this be done in Swami's presence? Can I invite Swami to come and witness this? I'm watching a movie. I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad to watch movies, but if I'm watching a movie, can I invite Swami to join me and watch this movie along with me? If the answer to that is no, I mean, this is something that we have to answer with our own conscience. There is no standard rule as such. But if there is something that we are doing or speaking or thinking for which we cannot invite Swami to be a party to, then I think we should not be doing that. And I think this comes as an automatic corollary to all that we have discussed. On that note, dear listeners, we'll bring the satsang to a close. Hope you enjoyed it. We felt that this being the week so close to the annual sports and cultural meet, we should look behind at some of the most important lessons that we have learned during the sports meet. And one of the most important is this, that whatever we do it as an offering to Swami with the purity of feeling, purity of your heart and steadfastness of effort, because irrespective of how the result turns out to be, as long as these parameters are fine, the Lord always accepts and grants His grace in boundless measure. Offering the satsang at His lotus feet, we conclude with a song, on the other side of which you will be greeted with Brother Chandu in his segment, Love to Love.
Gaate milkar saai